Welcome to Mr. Biz Radio, biz talk for biz owners. If you're ready to stop faking the funk and take your business onward and upward, this show is for you. And now, here's Mr. Biz, Ken Wentworth.
All right, welcome to another episode of Mr. Biz Radio. With me, Mr. Biz, Ken Wentworth. Guys, today we're going to talk about something, and again, always trying to come up with some new things and some interesting topics that we haven't talked about in 7.5 years of doing the show now. We've never had anyone on to talk about this particular topic, and I've been looking forward to it. I know my wife is pretty into it. She does a lot of things around this topic with some of her college friends, and we're going to talk about the afterlife and evidence of the afterlife and communications with folks, you know, after their physical death, mediumship, things like that we're going to talk about today. And we found someone that we could do justice to this topic, Mr. Bob Ginsberg. He started researching the evidence for survival of consciousness soon after his daughter died in 2002. Devastated by the loss, he needed science to tell him if she still existed in some form. In 2004, Bob and his wife, Fran, founded Forever Family Foundation, a global not-for-profit that educates the public about evidence that we are more than just our physical bodies. Bob hosts the Signs of Life radio show, is past editor of Signs of Life magazine, heads the foundation's medium evaluation certification program. He also writes a blog, which you can find at beyondthefivesenses.com. And he's the author of two books, The Medium Explosion and My Life, Here and There. Bob and Fran and the foundation are currently featured in the Netflix docuseries Surviving Death. Bob, welcome to Mr. Biz Radio.
My pleasure. My pleasure to be with you today.
Yeah, absolutely. Been looking forward to this. And I know when we originally reached out to you, you're like, Mr. Biz Radio, sounds like a business show. Like, you sure this is something you want to cover? And so I need to explain that a little bit, Bob. And I think we did an email back. But, you know, we've started expanding the topics we cover and really starting, you know, not just business type things. But, you know, this is something that impacts everybody, though, you know, whether you're an entrepreneur, you're a business owner, neither of those. And I'm fascinated by the topic. And I know, again, you've been pouring yourself into this for 20 plus years now. And so I'm very interested to hear about this. But before we start to dive into all that, Bob, tell us a little bit about your career, your entrepreneurial journey, and kind of what led you to, you know, move into this this side of things.
Well, you know, if we were having this conversation, you know, 23 years ago, I would have thought it was a little bit absurd. You know, to me, I said, well, come on, that's wishful thinking. You know, what could possibly survive physical deaths? I thought our brains. Brains created our consciousness. So when the brains were no more, you know, we were no more. I can relate to the business show because I spent, 40 plus years building an insurance agency, which is about as far away from the work that I do now, you know, in the not-for-profit as possible. I had thousands of clients and none of them, after I started the foundation in 2003, none of my clients knew that side of me. You know, it wasn't until that the Netflix series that you mentioned, you know, came up, where I started getting calls saying, "Is that you?" You know, so yeah, I always kept the two things separate. But I came from I was living a pretty materialistic life, like a lot of people, you know, tried to make as much money as I could and had the big house and all the toys and the cars and all that stuff. And then, I used some of my advertising skills to help, you know, build the agency. And then my life changed. A life-changing event is usually something traumatic. In my case, it was, losing my 15-year-old daughter, which started me to think, is there something, you know, to this? And I started pretty much an obsession. I traveled across the United States meeting with medical doctors and scientists and researchers that studied the mind and the brain and consciousness. And I specifically wanted to know, A, is there any credible evidence that my daughter still existed in some form? And B, is she okay? And that's probably something that a lot of parents, would echo. You know, this all started, my son and my daughter were in a car accident. And the morning of the accident, about 3:30 in the morning, my wife popped up in bed and she was shaking. And I said, "What's the matter?" And she would just stare at me. And I said, "What's the matter?" And she said, she just looked at me with this blank stare. And she said, "Something horrible is going to happen today." And I said, "Well, you know, what does that mean? What does that mean?" And she said, "I can't tell you exactly, but our lives are going to be changed, you know, forever that, you know, today." And normally I wouldn't take things like that seriously because I don't believe in things like premonitions and visions and that stuff. But we were together a very long time at that point, and there were times in our lives together where she'd have these precognitive moments, and everything that she said was going to happen happened exactly the way she said. So logic told me if she was right then, she could be right now. And to make a long story short, I watched over my three kids during the day. One of them was already back at college. My oldest one I was taking to college the next day, and my youngest one was working in a part-time job. And the day went by, and I said, okay, I let it fade from my awareness. We were in a restaurant. We had two cars. I let my son and my daughter drive home in one car, and, you know, we came upon the accident. My daughter didn't survive the accident, and my son had very serious injuries and was airlifted to a hospital in a coma. But, you know, when it came clear that my son was going to recover, and he did recover eventually without brain injury, then after the shock wore off, because I was in shock for a couple of months, I said, wait, how did Fran know? You know, because she knew I was, you know. So that also became, I was compelled to find the answers to that, you know. So, you know, that started my journey, which is so far from, you know, as we might discuss later, after being in the corporate world for, you know, 40 plus years, when we started the foundation, which is sort of a convergence of science and spirituality, you know, I said to my wife, wow, this is going to be so wonderful. We're in the spirituality business. That's not going to be cutthroat like I'm used to for four decades. What I found was that people are people, egos are egos, and the spirituality business was not much different, you know, the environment that I came from before. I mean, you know, scientists would be fighting for the meager grants that were available, and they'd have fights, and mediums would have fights with each other, you know, and so half the time we were playing peacemaker, you know, trying to get people to meet somewhere in the middle. So, you know, maybe my business skills helped me in that endeavor. But, you know, sometimes my wife used to say that, you know, everything happens for a purpose, and maybe that was all part of it.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. Well, first of all, I'm very sorry for your loss. I can't even imagine, you know, I've got three daughters myself, and I can't even imagine having to go through something like that. But on top of it, as you say, I'm sure you were in shock for you know, at least a couple of months. And, but then always having in your mind that your wife had that sort of, I don't know if the right term is premonition, but had that premonition that, oh my gosh, something terrible is going to happen today. It's just, that would have gotten my mind just spinning like crazy as well. Like, what is that connection and how do you explore that further? I want to get into that a little bit more, Bob. We got to hit a break, but I want to get into that more as we get into the next segment. You can find out more at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. You can also find Bob on Facebook, Robert Ginsburg. And again, go out and check out foreverfamilyfoundation.org to find out more about his nonprofit.
If you would like to reach hundreds of thousands of business owners every week, Mr. Biz Radio can help. Our show airs globally 7 days a week for more than 25 hours across several internet radio stations, plus 20 plus podcast platforms. Also, video exposure on the new exclusive Mr. Biz Network streaming channel, which gets blasted to 100 plus streaming platforms, and the Mr. Biz YouTube channel, and our 350,000 social media followers multiple times every week. Join Mr. Biz Nation as an advertiser by emailing us at info@MrBizSolutions.com.
Attention, Mr. Biz Nation. We have an exclusive offer just for you. Get lifetime access to scarcity countdown timers and logic links for only $69. Yes, you heard it right. Only $69. These tools will add urgency to your email campaigns and website pages, helping you increase conversions, sales, and capture more leads. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Visit GetPulseTools.com now and take your business to new heights.
Got a question for Mr. Biz you want answered on air? Email it to info@MrBizSolutions.com. Now, once again, here's Mr. Biz.
All right, welcome back to the show again. This week we're talking to Mr. Bob Ginsberg. So, Bob, I want to pick up here. We got a lot to cover, and this time seems to fly by so fast, so quickly, and especially during the break, I'm like writing notes. I'm like, gosh, man, there's so many questions, so many directions to go. So, first of all, from the first segment, I find it disappointing, but not surprised that you didn't find that the this space was as jovial or as corporate like. It's disappointing, but I'm not surprised, and I'm sure your 40 plus years of experience helped with some of those mediations and playing the peacekeeper and things like that. But so you go through this traumatic event, your wife had the premonition, you go through the event, you start to do the research and everything. Tell us kind of where this all takes off from there.
Well, so as I had these talks with various scientists, I kept uncovering information that is unknown to most of the mainstream. Mm-hmm. And I was amazed that people didn't know about it. I mean, the statistical odds against chance of some of these things happening like in the billions to one, and yet they were dismissed because, scientists are trained in their whole education is based on materialism. Everything can be reduced and explained in physical terms. And if you can't perceive something with your physical senses, if you can't see it or touch it or hear it or smell it and so forth, then it doesn't exist. And you could put the evidence right in their face and they still won't acknowledge it because that would discredit their whole careers and their whole education. So the first step in believing that we could possibly survive, you have to show that our mind, or some people refer to our mind as our consciousness, and some people might even refer to it as a soul, but that something can act independently of our physical brain. In other words, our brains are not who we are. Our brains receive information and interpret information, but our minds can travel. I mean, there was now declassified project that our own CIA had during the Cold War with the Russians called the Stargate program. And they recruited remote viewers. These are people that would give them latitude and longitude coordinates, which were Russian military, sites. And they would ask them, which sounds absurd, to send their mind to those sites and then draw depictions of what they saw. And what they found was that people definitely had that gift. Some of the drawings, which you can see online, are just incredibly detailed and accurate. And I did my own remote viewing experiment, which we don't have enough time to get into it. But, I was drawing a series of pictures, and somebody across the country in Eugene, Oregon, 3,000 miles away from my New York home, drew the exact same pictures that I was drawing. So I said, wait a second, here's Bob in New York with Bob's brain and Bob's skull. And this woman's in Oregon, 3,000 miles away with her brain and her skull. How could she see the pictures? Clearly something is extending beyond the brain. So, and there are many examples of this. And, we were touched on this in the first segment, precognition, getting a glimpse of the future, telepathy, intuition. I mean, we all, even in business, and people say, your colleagues probably say, well, how'd you make that decision? It's, well, by my gut. It was, I just followed my gut, which is in essence good advice to do that. It's usually right. So, once you believe that our consciousness can act independently of the brain, then it's not so illogical to make the assumption that we continue on after the body is no more, after our brain is no more. And there are many different examples of this that we study. Near-death experiences is one area of research. A lot of credible medical doctors involved in that. People that meet every definition that medical science has for death. They have no brain waves. They have no heartbeat. You know, they have no respiration. They have no reflexes. Science says they're dead. And yet those that are resuscitated, they report clear and lucid thinking. That's without an active brain. You know, how is that possible? They report things like being outside of their body. So they might be, if it's in an operating room, they see everything that's going on in the operating room, even though they're dead and, you know, unconscious. Some report seeing, you know, deceased loved ones, people that have gone before them. Some report a life review where their whole life flashes before their eyes, and they get to feel all of the good things and help that they bestowed upon others. That feels good. Conversely, they get to feel the bad stuff that they inflicted upon others. I would imagine that doesn't, you know, feel so good. So a lot of near-death experiences come back changing their lives, you know, because they've been to a different place, and all the material stuff is not as important as it once was. You know, sometimes it becomes meaningless. But we study that. We study deathbed visions, you know, people that are near death all of a sudden for no medical reason appear to be talking to deceased loved ones. You know, they'll reach out, they'll have conversations. Usually people in the room with them can't see what they see, but it suggests that we all have assistance when we cross to the other side. You know, mediumship can be extremely evidential. In my Medium Explosion book, I said that based upon my own research, 85 to 90% of mediums in practice today, and by mediums, I'm talking about people that claim to be able to communicate with the dead, you know, cannot do what they claim. But 10 to 15% can. And those are the elite practitioners, and we've been evaluating the evidence they provide since 2005. And that statistic has held true. Only 10% have passed. You know, we've been doing it now for, 18, 19 years, and we've only certified, you know, 27 mediums in 18 years. So that's a little more than one a year. So it's very hard to get certification. So, you know, all of these things, there are medical doctors that study past life memories of children, you know, reincarnation, after death communications, you know, people call them signs, but things that, and synchronicities that shouldn't make sense, but they come together to form meaning and meaning. And people have dream visitations, you know, while their chatter mind is at rest during certain stages of sleep. It presents a channel, and they get to see and talk to, in some cases, and hug and kiss and smell their, you know, deceased loved ones. So these things have been reported down, you know, for thousands of years, you know, all, you know, diverse cultures and so forth. And, you know, scientists would consider those after-death communications as anecdotal evidence. But when you have millions and millions and millions of these reports that are all similar in nature, you have to pay attention to some of these things.
Oh yeah, for sure, man. Again, time flies when you're having fun. We're up against a break here again, but I want to talk a little bit in this last segment, Bob, more about you know, evidence that the mind continues after physical death, and then after death communications, whether that be via mediumship and things like that. Obviously, you must have a very rigorous certification process, as you mentioned. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I'm a numbers guy, right? And, you know, the statistics, because I had a hunch, right? You see a lot of the stuff and you're like, how many people are actually legit and how many are just trying to make a buck and, you know, making some lucky guesses here and there? And I'm not trying to downplay it, because I'm sure, you know, with the certification is very true. But come back after the break. We'll continue talking with Bob Ginsberg.
How would you like to have direct access to Mr. Biz to help you run your business more profitably and more efficiently? At MrBizSolutions.com, you get live access to not only Mr. Biz, but also several of his hand-picked and trusted business experts, each with 20-plus years of experience to help you optimally manage and grow your business. That's just the start of where Mr. Biz Solutions begins. Learn more at MrBizSolutions.com. That's MrBizSolutions.com.
Attention, Mr. Biz Nation. We have an exclusive offer just for you. Get lifetime access to scarcity countdown timers and logic links for only $69. Yes, you heard it right, only $69. These tools will add urgency to your email campaigns and website pages, helping you increase conversions, sales, and capture more leads. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Visit GetPulseTools.com now and take your business to new heights.
Check out all three of Mr. Biz's best-selling books at MrBizBooks.com. Now, once again, here's Mr. Biz.
All right, welcome back to the show. I want to mention again, Bob Ginsberg. You can check out his foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. We'll put this in the show notes as well. You can check out his blog at beyondthefivesenses.com. And then, of course, his two books, The Medium Explosion and My Life in Here and There. So, Bob, during the break, it came to me, maybe it was a premonition. I'm joking. So it makes me wonder. It just literally just happened to me last night. Where how much of this, and maybe this is outside of the scope of what you have studied, Bob, but how much is, the subconscious of with dreams, right? When you have dreams, and let's say you have the same dream over and over again. Is that, I had it happen, 20 or so years ago in my life. I kept having a recurring dream, and I finally was trying to figure out, what the heck does this mean? It was generic things, but the outcome was the same. And I went through an experience where I had to make a major life decision, made that decision, and I've never had that dream again. And the dream was just probably too much detail, but the dream was I was driving a car up a bridge, and the bridge just kept getting steeper and steeper and steeper and steeper until I flipped the car over. And again, there were different people with me. I had this dream probably, at least 20 times over a five-year period, and maybe less than a five-year period. Different people in the car, different bridges, same outcome. And I looked it up and found out subsequently that, that at least the source I found said, that's a sign of you having to make a major life decision. And that's what it ended up, being. And I didn't tell anyone that I had this major life decision that was completely independent. I didn't know it had anything to do with it. So it was interesting to me. So is there a tie-in between that? Or is that maybe outside the scope of what you typically have studied, Bob?
No, the way I look at it is that, in non-scientific terms, I think there are most dreams I call just regular dreams. It's a rehashing of things that happened in your life or decisions that you have to make or things that you encountered. And most dreams, regular dreams, are disjointed. They're all over the place. They don't have any flow to them. And you usually forget them as soon as you wake up. Sometimes I mentioned dream visitations, and what we believe is that during certain stages of sleep, those who are entities of thought only without a body on the other side, so to speak, see this open channel, this conduit for them to get through because your conscious mind is at rest. Those dreams are much different. They're very tactile. As I mentioned, you can converse sometimes and hug and kiss. I was very fortunate that I had over the course of 4 years, I had over 70 dream visitations from my daughter. That was the only way that I was, able to communicate. So, sometimes there are other explanations. Now, in your case with the dream you just mentioned, some people might say that you could be remembering a past life, or you could, it could be a deja vu kind of a thing where maybe you were once in that situation many, many years ago and it came through. But, I wouldn't necessarily consider that to be a significant dream, more of a rehashing of stuff. Now, there are many leaders in the business world and scientists and inventors and artists and musicians who tell you right up front that the idea for their invention or their song or the composition came in a dream. That may have been communication with the other side, some discarnate, maybe a composer on the other side, or putting the notes in front of you when you're while you're dreaming, and then you wake up. Wow, where did that come from? So people question these things. I once did a survey where I asked people, Would you rather receive a communication from your deceased loved one directly to you, or through the services of a medium? And when I asked that question, I thought that the vast majority were going to say, I'd rather have my loved one come to me directly. It's not the case. Most of them said through a medium. So then I started to probe why, and the two answers I got, one was fear. The media instills this fear upon us of spooky things, things that we can't perceive, you know, things that are non-physical in nature. And we're taught, if you can't see it, you should fear it. So people are still fearful of this subject. And the other answer that people got, which also made sense to me, is that if they got the information directly from their loved one, they would worry that they were imagining it, you know, that they were kind of wishful thinking. Whereas if it came from a third party, a professional, so to speak, then they could trust the information. So I think that to answer your question, which is a long-winded answer, I think there's a difference between regular dreams where you are rehashing stuff and a pure, you know, channel type of dream.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So we've only got a couple minutes here, but I wanted to get into a little bit of mediumship. And obviously you've got the certification through your foundation as well. So just a direct question, Bob. You mentioned, you know, 85% 85 to 90, I think you mentioned, of mediums out there don't have the ability. And are they just, again, being blunt, are they just after the money grab? Are they kind of pseudo mediums? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah, I mean, they're not all fraudulent, although some are, and you know, and today with the social media and meeting software and so forth, and the information age, it's a lot easier to cheat. You know, mediumship was rampant 100 years ago during the Victorian era, the late 1800s, early 1900s. It was unbelievably popular, but you couldn't go on a computer and check things out. I mean, now a medium could be giving you a reading and pull up your Facebook page on the other part of their screen, spit back information that they see, and the sitter doesn't notice. The sitter, the person getting the readings, wow, this is the greatest medium in the world. So it's a lot easier to cheat, which is why we need, there are no regulatory bodies that regulate mediumship, even though they're sitting with people in grief, people that are in highly disturbing emotional, you know, states. And yet, you know, there's no certification, there's no licensing, there are no evidential studies to see if they really could do. There's no continuing ed. You know, you could open up a shingle tomorrow and say, I'm Bob the medium, start charging people $400. So not all the mediums that, you know, in that 85% that can't do it, that a small percentage of fraudulent, but most people, so, you know, they have some intuitive ability, as we all do in varying degrees, and they may say something to a friend. The friend says, "Well, hey, you could be like so-and-so on TV, you know, and get famous." And it's a serious business, but they go into it for the wrong reasons. You know, it's money motivated or ego motivated versus then helping people.
So I wonder how many of those folks that are out there that know that they're probably not 100% legit just were completely avoid your certification because they're like, nah, I'm going to get exposed here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of mediums that are very high profile. We don't solicit any mediums because that would dilute the integrity of the process. But if they come to us, you know, a lot of them, they have, you know, big practices. There's no advantage to gaining certification. They don't need more business and they might fail.
Right.
You know, so we can only attest to the fact that the mediums that come to us under controlled conditions, you know, can bring through information at a very high rate of accuracy without any deception or fraud.
Yeah. And I would think, I mean, if I was a medium, and because there is no regulations, there's nothing outside of what you're talking about, I would want that. I'd want some sort of validation from a third party to say, hey, this is legit. Yeah. I'm not just, you know.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of the mediums that we've certified over the years have gone on to become famous, which is not that great for us because when people become famous, they charge more and more money. They do fewer and fewer readings and they're waiting with the 4 years long, which doesn't do anybody any good.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Hey, Bob, I really appreciate coming on. Bob Ginsberg, again, we'll put everything in the show notes. Amazing show. I'm fascinated by all this. Really appreciate you coming on, Bob.
It was my pleasure to be with you.
Awesome. Guys, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Have a fantastic remainder of your week. And don't forget, as always, cash flow is king.
To become part of Mr. Biz Nation, follow him on all social media platforms or never miss a show by going to MrBizRadio.com. If you prefer free video content, visit the Mr. Biz YouTube channel or check out his streaming channel, which is available on 100-plus streaming platforms at MrBizNetwork.com.